Hello, Mark. How are you?
Pretty good, Brent. Yourself?
Good, thank you, mate. Leader of One Nation in New South Wales. Let's just get stuck straight into it. Senior Liberals in New South Wales have lined up to deny being the source of texts exchanged with the former Premier Gladys Berejiklian, calling Scott Morrison a complete psycho. And we've had, somebody else calling him a fraud. I mean, we've had the Foreign Minister, Maurice Payne, and the Communications Minister, Paul Fletcher. They've both rejected rumours that they were the Federal Cabinet Minister who allegedly authored the scathing assessment of the Prime Minister, and they leaked the text. Goodness knows, it's just a mess that Scott Morrison, at this particular time of year leading up to an election in May, doesn't need, Mark.
Well, it's certainly a mess. These are text messages between an unnamed minister and Gladys Berejiklian 2 years ago in the middle of the New South Wales bushfire crisis. So they're a bit dated. I suppose, in all honesty, politicians texting criticism of other politicians is not all that unusual. If any of us had to hand over our phones at any stage, I suppose it would be some form of embarrassment as to what's on them. But, you know, the political ramification is that there's someone high up in the Liberal Party wanting to sabotage Scott Morrison and the chances of his government being re-elected. I find it hard to believe it would be a federal cabinet minister. Why do they want to be unemployed? Why would a federal cabinet minister put this in the hands of a journalist for massive embarrassment for the Prime Minister, knowing it's dead weight on the coalition's re-election prospects? So some people in the New South Wales Liberal Party, they're pointing the bone at Matt Keane, the Treasurer, who at the time of those bushfires 2 years ago had a massive public stoush with Scott Morrison about climate change and related matters. So would Matt Keane have been texting with Gladys Berejiklian abusive comments about the Prime Minister? Well, that's highly likely.
Who knows? Will we ever find out who it was? We probably won't. It's just, I suppose, something that the Prime Minister doesn't need at the moment. However, the question that he was asked at the National Press Club, you know, the price of milk and petrol and the rapid antigen tests, he should have known that that was a possibility. It's always a gotcha question, isn't it? So, you know, his staff should have prepared him to have the reply the day before. He should have given the reply that he gave yesterday morning on Sunrise. He should have given that reply at the press club.
Yeah, I've got to say, when I was leader of the Labor Party back there for the 2004 election, I had that information in my folder. You do expect that kind of question, so you would carry around price of everyday essentials in life, even if, you know, busy campaigning, and obviously the Prime Minister's very busy, wouldn't buy his own milk, wouldn't buy his own bread at the lodge. He wouldn't put the petrol in the car that someone else drives around for him. So he wouldn't know those things directly, but it doesn't hurt you to have some awareness of what everyday consumers are going through and some of the price variations there. They did ask Anthony Albanese that about the price of bread. He said $1.80 at his local Marrickville Vietnamese bakery, and they just put it up to $2. So he got it wrong, but at least he had a go at it.
He did. The Prime Minister should have known the situation in reference to the cost of rapid antigen tests, because it's been in all the news headlines in the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's very important. That's a direct government responsibility. Are they affordable? Should they be subsidised? So, yeah, we should have known the answer to that.
Your thoughts on the... this portfolio, I just don't understand. He's the sports minister, but he's also the aged care minister, this Richard Colbeck. He's now... Anthony Albanese has come out today and said that, you know, Richard Colbeck should resign after it was revealed that he went to an Ashes test match in Tasmania rather than appearing at a Senate hearing relating to a COVID-19. For his portfolio. I mean, he went to this test match 3 days. I had an emailer this afternoon say, look, maybe he could have gone for 1 day, but to go for 3 days and not to go to this hearing, it seems, it just seems beyond the pale, doesn't it?
It's not much of an excuse, because if you're the sports minister, technically there's a sporting event in Australia every day. You could have been at the tennis, you go to the test cricket. I think there's a women's 1 day international between Australia and India in Canberra. Today you can go to that. You can go to a sporting event every day. You wouldn't do any other work, would you? You wouldn't do any work as a Tasmanian senator for the people of that state. You wouldn't do any work as the aged care minister. And you certainly wouldn't be accountable in going to a parliamentary committee on something as absolutely critical as the impact of COVID in our aged care system. So Colbeck is grasping at straws, really. It's pretty pathetic to say he had to be there for 3 days as the sports minister. I'm sorry, Brett doesn't pass the old pub test.
No, that's exactly right. You know, well said, it doesn't pass the old pub test. And, I mean, we both know that Scott Morrison is not going to sack this guy. Do you think, I mean, we've got an election in May and Parliament's only sitting for another couple of weeks, so it really doesn't matter, does it?
No, it doesn't, but it's a sign that ministerial standards have dropped in Australia. There was a time, my memory goes back to the Whitlam and Fraser governments, where if you did something wrong, they would sack you. I mean, there was a Fraser minister who brought it was Mick Young in the Hawke years. He brought the Paddington Bear into Australia. He didn't declare it at customs, and he got sacked for that. And, they were the standards at the time, where if you misled Parliament or you broke any government rules at all, they'd punch you out. But I think with Richard Colbeck, it's mainly an argument about competence, and we couldn't have any confidence in this guy. He seems to be absolutely hopeless. When he does go to parliamentary committees, he doesn't know his basic facts. So at least on competence, there's reasons to move him on. They need someone from Tasmania in the ministry. They should find someone else.
I agree with you. Labor's been accused of a humiliating backflip after agreeing to support this New South Wales Hunter Valley gas plant. They said no, now they've said yes.
Well, it's a massive backflip in that Chris Bowen was saying the Currie gas peaking plant is an absolute waste of money. What is a gas peaking plant? Well, they turn it on when the renewables aren't running, when there's no wind or no sun. You need to find the electricity somewhere, and these gas plants can start up quickly and generate the power. So it's really an added expense to the renewable energy system to have it. Labor was opposed to it because it was natural gas that has carbon emissions, and they're now saying they'd like to move it to hydrogen. But, geez, hydrogen will add enormously to the cost of it. It's not commercially viable. And with hydrogen, you're using electricity in the first place, so-called green hydrogen. You use renewable powered electricity to split the water away from the hydrogen, and you take that gas and then use it to make more electricity. So, you know, you don't need to be an economic genius to work out that starting with a product, electricity, and going through that process and still just ending with electricity is not very economic at all. And financially, none of this stacks up. Albanese can't explain where's the water come from. I suppose it's out of the Hunter River, and people would say there's better use for it. How do you transport the hydrogen, given you can't pipe it because it needs to be liquefied, it needs to be frozen? These are all questions that he hasn't answered. It's a bit like Albanese's promise of a fast rail between Newcastle and Sydney,
yes,
when all he's allocated is 2% of the funding out of the total cost.
I think it may be more to do with the fact that that area's local member Swanson may be a little on the nose and not have, in reference to the research or the polling that they're doing, maybe she needs a little bit of help to get over the line. So this is a possibility of what they're doing.
Well, I think it's because for 15 years, Labor's been wanting to wipe out the coal jobs, coal mining jobs, the coal industry in the Hunter Valley. That would cause enormous unemployment. They had a very bad result in the Upper Hunter by-election last year. And Albanese's desperately trying to throw other promises out to say, we care about the Hunter. He said, you know, have a fast rail, even though he can't fund it. Have some hydrogen gas, even though that's not viable. The real thing to do for the Hunter is stand up for the jobs and not abolish them in the first place, to say that a Labor Party would look after the workers. So they're not doing that, and I think they should cop it come election day.
What was your thoughts on the story out earlier this week about the Greens and Anthony Albanese saying that, you know, he won't do any deals with the minor parties? But I said at the time when the story came out that if it comes down to the wire and Anthony Albanese, to become the Prime Minister of the country, needs to do deals to get across the line, he'll do deals with the Greens. You'd bet your bottom dollar, won't he?
Oh, that's political reality. The alternative to not having a deal with the Greens, if there's a minority Labor government, that is, they don't get the 76 seats needed in the House of Representatives to form a majority government, the alternative to not having any arrangement for supply and confidence on the floor of the Parliament, the alternative is a new election. So if Albanese is serious about that, the next question to him from the journalist should be, well, if you're a minority government and you won't do any deals with anyone, are you saying you'd want a new election, that within the space of 3 months we'd have two federal elections, and maybe just more than that if it's ongoing? that no one can form a majority government. So, you know, that's a pretty big deal, and I think Albanese needs to make his position a lot clearer.
We're speaking to the leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham. We'll take a break and continue our conversation after this.